You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
Hello and welcome to the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show. I'm Danny and I'm here to look forward to this weekend's huge game at Six Fields as the Cobblers take on newly promoted Exeter City. Now, usually we'd be speaking with a fan of the opposition ahead of the weekend, but it seems like they're all still pissed after celebrating promotion on Tuesday night. So instead, I'm joined by Charles Cummins.
Hello!
Hello, Charles. Hello. Are you going to pretend to be...
Up the Grecians, up them.
Get them.
We're fanowned and we're wonderful. We are Exeter City. That is exactly what they sing on the Big Bank every week.
The Big Bank.
Yeah, Big Bank. Yes,
it's a very big bank.
Huge bank.
Charles, are you going to pretend to be an Exeter fan for all of this?
I'm not,
or
no.
You're not going to be able to keep up that pretense
no,
for
I'm not.
Half an hour. No,
I'm
so not. Sorry about not finding an Exeter fan, but you're just as good.
Thanks, mate. I mean, don't apologise. I did tell you when we started doing this that the thing about doing the preview show is finding a fan every single week. And I will say, hats off to you for getting this far in without having an issue. And
yeah, I mean, thank goodness we haven't had to get a fire screen fan, because that could have been early doors. That could have been
really difficult. But you know, well done. Just because there isn't one this week doesn't mean that you haven't been working hard. I mean, literally, I've looked in the Twitter DMs, and you've asked pretty much every single Exeter City fan that is alive.
Entire fan base, yeah, including I tried to get Aid Edmondson on because he's an Exeter.
Did you?
Fan. I did.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been amazing.
He's not returned my follow yet. So
you probably
maybe
had
next
to
season.
Go through his agent.
Yeah, I was trying to get in the sneaky back door, like you do.
I'm not going to say anything about that. Never sneak in the back door, kids. It could have repercussions. Yeah.
This is why we get an opposition fan on every week. I was going to say congratulations to the fan, whoever
Thanks.
Came on. Because they've,
I'll
they've
say just thank you on their behalf.
On their behalf, yeah.
I'll take it.
Beat Barrow on Tuesday night. They came from behind to beat Barrow on Tuesday. Pitch invasion, all that malarkey, all that. The hype. Giovanni Brown was excited.
Pulled an all-nighter by the
Pulled
look
an all-nighter.
It.
10 o'clock in the morning, a video of him emerged, supping a beer at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's what we like to see in the head of the weekend. We like that kind of thing.
Did he also, in that video, tell his cat to F off?
May well have done.
Sorry, it just—I only watched it just about 10 minutes before we started recording, and I just went, "Who's he just sworn at? There's nothing there." Absolutely. You know, do you know what I want to say? You know, it is congratulations, and they are in order because for years now, Exeter have been oh so close, haven't they, to getting that promotion, and to have finally done it. And I know that nobody from Exeter City is listening because there's no Exeter City. Try saying that when you're drunk. There's no Exeter fan on here to, you know, say, promote it for us like there normally is for our opposition fans. However, a big shout out to, first of all, the club's media team. There was a tremendous video. I mean, it's 8 minutes long. I did skip quite a lot of it because most of it is just them scoring goals. None of which were against us, possibly because we beat them. But the video was very poignant and it was lovely. And we did get, not a mention, but there were visuals of us because obviously they've lost in the playoff final 3 times now.
Yeah.
And of course, the last time was us. So it was a really nice video. And I just thought, you know, congrats to them. They do deserve it. I'm hoping that they'll now be on the beach.
Yeah, let's hope so. They've been, because they went down to the conference at one point, didn't they? So it's been they went back down to the conference, back up to League One, promoted to League One straight away. This is in sort of the end of 2009 season. Come back down again, but they've just struggled so much. And they've been around and about. They're always in there with the favourites, aren't they? They're always one you look at and you think, Exeter, good League Two team. Mm. They could do it. They could go up. They've obviously become fan-owned and all that kind of thing. And got the plaudits for that, rightfully so. They got a great young manager in Matty Taylor, who I was really impressed with in terms of how he responded to our defeat. How we spoke about that after the game. I'm surprised it's taken them a couple of years to get back up again, because I think they finished ninth last season. Bit of a bit surprised by that, but sometimes you do get that after a playoff final defeat, don't you? And
you
got the fans back and everything and that. But yeah, fair play to them. They've done well. Decent little club. Decent club. Similar size to us, you think?
Possibly, yeah. I don't like doing that whole kind of... there are obvious comparisons to make, or rather, there are obvious clubs that are bigger than us and smaller than us.
Yes.
You know, so for example, you can quite easily go, Man United are bigger than Northampton Town, right? And you can also quite easily go, Halifax Town are smaller than Northampton Town. Very easy. But once you're kind of in this position, then I think most teams are on the same sort of level.
Yes.
I mean, there are the odd exception, but I mean, eventually...
You've got all those teams you hate being in League Two that you say don't deserve a place in League Two.
Well, it's not that they don't deserve. They clearly do deserve a place in League Two based on the thing. But the thing that my rant, which could last the whole half an hour if you want me to, Danny, just to fill some time, is about the fact that there's no financial fair play as soon as you drop out of the Football League. So teams like Wrexham, for example, and I mean, don't get me wrong, if I was a Wrexham fan, I'd be absolutely loving it every night. I mean, I would have posters of Ryan Reynolds on my bedroom wall.
You don't already?
To be fair, I do.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. You know, Stockport as well. All of those teams. The problem is that those teams can now afford... And you've got teams like Oldham, for example, who are then mismanaged by the looks of it. I don't know the full story, so please don't sue me. But it looks like they've been mismanaged, and now they're going to drop out. They think, and I think I saw that there was a statement by Oldham last week or in the week that said something about how their budget next year will be the same as what they've had this year. Well, I'm sorry, Oldham fans and Oldham Football Club, but that is not going to get you promoted from the National League, because there are teams in there that have got budgets 2 or 3 times the size of what you're going to have next year. If your budget wasn't big enough to be able to stay up in League Two, it's not going to be good enough to compete at the top end of the National League. And that's down to the financial, you know, lack of financial regulation, essentially, outside of the Football League, that allows teams like Salford, for example, to spend their way through the lower leagues to get into the FA. I mean, you look, how many years have Salford now been in League Two?
Yeah.
Two or three? You know,
I always say at the start of every season, how is it not a bigger deal that they're still there? based on what their ambitions were and their financial acumen is. I don't understand why it's not been made more of a thing of. But
yeah, I mean, it's just that thing. So, I mean, if we go back to like Exeter, I would probably say that they are pretty much the same sort of size as we are. You can argue, and people will argue, that they are better than us at different aspects. You know, the fact that they're fan-owned, some people, you know, cry themselves to sleep over that, don't they? They think it's the best thing in the world. But, I mean, you know, as long as they're being football clubs are being run well, that's all that really
matter. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's what should matter. And it doesn't matter who it is.
I'd much rather see an Exeter go up than a Salford, if I'm honest.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely.
And I think, to me, they feel like they're a little bit ahead of us, and that's all it is. I mean, we could still go up at the same time, but I feel like they've lasted longer with, I mean, specifically going to Matt Taylor. Mm. Easily could have been grumbles about him last season, finishing ninth after getting to the playoff final, but stuck with him at a up and down start. They drew a lot of games, I think, at the start of the season, and it was only really after Christmas where they really kicked on, and they've won, what, 17 of 22 games? Mm-hmm. But in that early period, they could have easily pulled the plug on Matt Taylor, but they've stuck with him. And it was a similar kind of thing to Michael Duff at Cheltenham, I think.
Yeah.
That kind of project, isn't it? Yes. And that's kind of what you want to see with John Brady, that you just stick with it and stick with it. And if we don't end up going up this season, which we obviously really want to do.
Which we will, Danny. Which we will.
Then you want to see us stick with it and kind of carry on that good work that's been done.
Yeah.
They're a bit of a blueprint, aren't they, I think, with everything.
I was talking to somebody last week about who has worked in football, and we were talking about how football fans, or you know, they'll get on managers' backs, and then the manager will eventually get sacked. And it was this person's belief that it isn't actually owners or chairman or you know, the people inside the business who sack managers. It's the fact, yes, of course, they do the actual act of signing the paperwork to, you know, exit them from their job. But it's actually the fans that 9 times out of 10 will get the people sacked, because it becomes untenable. The fan base are completely against it, and it makes it a really difficult position for the owners of the club or whoever it is that makes the decision as to who's being the manager. Mm-hmm. But there's no, statistically, there is no such thing as a new manager bounce.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything. You know, it's a myth, is essentially what we were discussing. We were talking about how changing your manager does not actually do anything to improve the results in the short term. So if you're losing games, or if you're not doing very well, sacking the manager will not, and getting somebody new in will not necessarily mean that you will, you know, immediately improve and do better in the long run as well. And that's one of the things that I would like to see us now do is have the continuity. We've had so long, haven't we, where we were chopping and changing managers. Keith Curl lasted a decent amount of time, I think, just in comparison to, you know, the likes of Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, Dean Austin, Justin Edinburgh, what had gone before. What we really need is John Brady to be in the job for at least another couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, Keith Curl was absolutely a stopgap. Like, there was no two ways about it. He was the firefighter. And I don't know if it was ever in the plan for Keith Curl to go up, if I'm honest. I think it was more...
I think it was for him. I think
he had ambitions for it. But I think we all kind of knew the back of our heads, how is it going to work once we're up there? What's the next? And I think there was always going to be, if we stayed in League One even, there was always going to be a point where Keith Curl's tenure ran out in terms of League One. I think we need a plan to keep John Brady and Colin Caldwell and that coaching setup through that, and have ambitions, obviously, of staying up in League One first, but then what's next? I kind of get the feeling at the moment we can do that.
Yeah, I think we've got a chance as a football club, I believe, to, people are going to laugh when I say this, but to do a very similar thing to what Man United did with Alex Ferguson. I don't mean in terms of results and, you know, being the best team in the world. What I mean is that, under Ferguson, United had a manager that was able to take a team, create a team, grow a team that was then successful, and then to recycle. Every couple of years, he had to bring in, you know, new blood essentially into that team. And he was able to recycle the team. He had countless numbers of squads over the years. You know, it would be like two or three season cycles with Alex Ferguson teams. And they would have that continuity. There would be players in there that would play for, you know, that one team for many, many years in a row. But then there would also be players that would come in and fill the gaps and that would be, you know, for a couple of seasons, and then they would either move on, sold, or they'd get somebody in that was better and improve the team once more. We've got the opportunity now, I think, with John Brady and the current setup that we've got, to kind of recreate that, to kind of just say, look, John Brady is a really, really good coach. And I think you've seen that with some of the players that have come in. Not all of them, you know, the likes of Nicky Cabamba and Dylan Connolly, for example, Jordan Flores, not successful whatsoever. But there have been players that have come in and have grown, I think, under John Brady. Horsfall's one of them. I think he's really stepped up to the plate since John Brady took over at the back end of last season. And you look at where we are. Ali Koike has come on tremendously, I think, from his time when he was at Bristol Rovers. From what I hear from Bristol Rovers fans, he had potential but didn't really show it. Whereas we're seeing the potential in him, and we have done for pretty much all of this season. I think we'll see the same thing with like Apare. And I mean, the big and the obvious player to talk about how well has performed under John Brady is Sam Hoskins. Mm-hmm. I know he still divides the fan base, but he has improved tremendously. And part of that is going to be down to the fact that Brady actually plays him in the same position more often than not. He's not just a utility player anymore.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly that. I think the main thing with all you're saying is patience, isn't it? And like we go on the pod every time we lose and dissect John Brady's decisions and think, is he the right man for the job? Is like, we've said that a couple of times this season when we've been sat in third and fourth place, and you think you've got to think. Every football fan is, and I'm sure there's some Exeter fans that were sat there earlier on this season or definitely towards the end of last season thinking, you know, is Matt Taylor the right person for him? But he's got over 200 games now for him. And he's the type of character you think, will he move on or will he want to carry on building with them? He's got the highest percentage of wins ever for them in the league. I think Alex Inglethorpe had a higher one, but that was in non-league, so doesn't count as much, I don't think, in terms of that. But in league football, especially, Matt Taylor's probably got the highest win percentage of any manager ever in their history. Used to play for them, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. So he's got that background. Came through the youth. Came through at Bath and stuff, and it seems fairly local. I think he was born up north, but he just seems to have that connection to him, and you hope for their sake that he's going to stick with him and not be poached, because immediately once you go up, people start looking at him. People will start looking at the Forest Green manager. Yeah. People will start looking at Matt Taylor. Probably the position that we're in, people won't look at John Brady as much because it's one season so far. Even if we go up, I think we've actually got a little bit of protection there this time. When I don't think people like Matt Taylor will be higher on people's agendas in terms of if you get like a Sheffield Wednesday or something like that, or, you know, the next step up. So
it would be interesting because obviously it's the thing that happens with us time and time again, isn't it? Is when we get promoted, the manager tends to get nabbed and to go higher up or to a bigger club. And whether it works out for that manager when they move on or not, it doesn't really matter from our point of view. We then tend to struggle because we're starting again. As you say, it would be interesting to see for both Forest Green and for Exeter as to whether or not they will be able to keep hold of their management team and also their successful players, because that's the other part of it. But the one thing that I wonder that plays into their hands in regards to being able to keep all these people is, again, that continuity that they've had.
Yeah,
because they've had players. These aren't necessarily players that are having one season wonders. They've moved to a club and it's suddenly been the right thing for them, the right fit. And they score a bit like Mullin, was it, last season for Cambridge?
Yeah, Paul Mullin, yeah.
You know, he essentially went in there, had one season with them, which was amazing. And then he signs for Wrexham, for a lot more money, granted, in a league below. But I wonder whether the fact that you've got players like Exeter, Matty J, for example, who have been there for a period of time, have been fairly consistent throughout that time, and are now reaping the rewards of being in a team that is successful enough to actually get them that one further step over the line than they've managed to achieve before. Mm. I think it actually means that they're more likely those players to stay on the basis of, I've been part of this project. The next step is the next step up. I'm going to be a League One player next season. So that's the challenge now, is to keep that group together. Yeah. And do that. And I think they possibly will. I think they stand a better chance of it than Forest Green do, personally, because I think Forest Green are a bit more of a wow, one season, you're up there kind of thing.
I don't think League One teams are going to like going to St James's Park.
No.
It's a difficult atmosphere, isn't it? I mean, we won there early in the season, but I think it was a Tuesday night, still. That the big bank you mentioned earlier, it's intimidating for a lower league team club, isn't it? It's, and they make a noise. And you saw the scenes on Tuesday night when they went up. They've got the passion there. Again, great club.
It's very similar to what we've got in terms of, and what we need to happen is that they need to carry this success into next season in terms of the fans. You know, they need to, just like with us, we need to really get behind the team and really be cheering them on. I mean, look, you know, we sold out Sixfields for Saturday, which is brilliant. You know, I struggled to get a ticket. I've never struggled to get a ticket for any Cobblers game, not even against Anfield, against Liverpool at Anfield. I didn't ever struggle to get a ticket, whereas this time I did. Now,
I thought you got freebies, didn't you? You're not at that level yet?
No, I am not at that level.
You're
not,
they've got your picture behind the desk. Oh, Charles, come on, get him in.
You do wonder sometimes, but no. That's more for don't sell it to him, probably. But we need to kind of keep that momentum going. It's no good next season, whichever league we're in, come, when do we start? Is it July this time?
July, yeah, end of July.
So come July, that first game of the season at home at Sixfields, it's no good us going back to crowds of 4,000, 4,500 to 5,000. Yeah. We need to be 6,000 plus, realistically, because and it should be that way. And it should be that way for Exeter too, where they keep going. You know, their stadium was absolutely rammed on Tuesday night for that game against Barrow, and rightly so, because they all saw what could happen. We could get promoted, and they all went in their numbers, and it's brilliant to see. We need to do exactly the same thing. We've got one game at Sixfields, which is a sellout, that we can actually show this is what we want. And all those people that talk about how we need Sixfields to have a bigger amount of seats, a bigger capacity. Well, as fans, we can help make that decision, because if we were selling out Sixfields every single week, then the owners would have a decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do. Yeah. And if that means taking a mate with you to the game, if that means you trying to get to more games than you do normally, I appreciate it costs money to do all of these things. I really think that that is the thing that we as fans, we can do something about to force these things through. It's no good just basically slagging off people you don't like, or you don't like the way that you've done something. Do something about it. And the easiest way that we can do something about creating a really good atmosphere at the game and to get more money in the coffers for better players and better infrastructure and to prove that we need a bigger capacity is to week in, week out, have bums on seats.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Back to Exeter then.
Sorry. Yes, rant over.
Obviously got another incentive for Saturday as well. I mean, everyone was saying, oh, we want Exeter to win so they can be on the beach. There's no way they can really be on the beach because of Forest Green.
I thought you were going to say they're not going to be on the beach because they're all going to be in bed nursing hangovers. No,
that too, hopefully. They're now level on points with Forest Green, 83 points each. Goal difference is 8 in the favour of Forest Green. Last two fixtures, Forest Green at Harrogate at home, and then crucially for us, maybe Mansfield away. Exeter have got us away, obviously, on Saturday, and then Port Vale at home, which is another one that could affect us. how do you see that going? Title challenge now.
I think Exeter have got the momentum. And that worries me for Saturday.
Yeah.
From but what if we were looking at it out of, you know, taking us out of the context of it, then I would be turning around and putting all my money on Exeter if I was a gambling man, which I'm not. Forest Green have wobbled.
They have. Harrogate seems the one that, I think from Forest Green point of view, they'll be wanting to go and smash Harrogate.
Yes.
And hope that we do them some sort of favour against Exeter. They won't technically be able to win the league, but if they win and Exeter lose to us, then they'll be almost there on goal difference if they get a decent amount. They probably won't want it to go to Mansfield away because that's going to be a tricky game for them. Port Vale at home, you think if Exeter are going for the title and they've got a home match against Port Vale, you'd expect them to pack it out again and
back them
and be going for it. It's going to be tight, I think.
It is going to be tight.
What we do. I mean, Forest Green have been dropping points to any old soldier, haven't they? So.
Yeah, I mean, losing 4-0 to Barrow, for goodness sake. Who do you want to win the league, Danny? Take out the repercussions for us. Who do you want out of Forest Green or Exeter to win the league?
I don't really care.
Don't care?
No. I mean, you know I'm a big fan of what Forest Green do. We've had that discussion before.
Yeah.
But to me, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Whoever wins the league, it doesn't matter. I just want us to get over the line. And that would mean us taking points off Exeter. So I know you said don't go for the ramifications.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if we didn't have a part to play in the title race.
Yeah, I still wouldn't care. Because we're going for third. I think that's if we're like mid-table.
Okay,
then I think,
I'm going to do this then to you. Right. We beat Exeter on Saturday.
Yeah.
Harrogate beat Forest Green on Saturday. So it's exactly the same. It's no different. Maybe there's slightly different goal difference, but I think Forest Green will still have the upper hand. I don't see a swing being that large to overcome eight. So it's one game left of the season. We are completely, you know, it doesn't matter about us because regardless of what happens, we just need to win the game.
Yeah.
So who would you prefer to win the title? Which football club do you like better out of Exeter and Forest Green?
That's a tricky one. That is a tricky one. I'll go Exeter. I'll give it to Exeter. Because I think it'd be quite funny.
That's the right answer, by the way.
Because Forest Green have dropped so badly, I think it'd be quite funny for them not to win the title.
Yeah.
And I feel like that going into next season, it then becomes a little bit more of a, not a bad way to end the season, but a weird way to end the season. And that kind of momentum, you saw with Swindon, didn't you? Like they won the title in a really odd manner where they had to come out on the pitch a couple of years ago and jump around and celebrate to no fans. And that, I think that affected them the next season as well. So I think Exeter, give it to Exeter.
I agree with you. Because they're a proper
I think Forest Green will win the league. I think I can see him hammering Harrogate and getting what they need against Mansfield. And I'm really hoping, obviously, that we beat Exeter and make it not matter.
I mean, maybe that's the thing here, is that maybe that's what Exeter will be thinking as well. Oh, they're going to hammer Harrogate. We're up. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I wonder whether they'll come in. The way they play is quite attacking anyway. I wonder whether they'll just come all out, balls out against us and just go for it. Because they've already had that high of promotion.
Mm.
Like if we're in that position, we're thinking the title's a bonus, aren't we? Like if we close the gap that much, you think if you win the title, that's an extra bonus. But the thing we wanted was promotion. Well, maybe they'll just come out and go gung-ho against us and it'll be a ding-dong.
Do you think that would fall into our hands? Or do you think that would be dangerous?
Yeah, I'd much rather that than someone come and sit back and put 9 or 10 men behind the ball.
Absolutely.
They can't do that. There's no point in them doing that now, is there?
They'll play with freedom, I think. But I do think that there's still going to be that element for both sides of caginess, of nervousness.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the fact that, you know, obviously we're trying to get promoted. We're trying to get that P next to our name on our Twitter account.
Yes.
you know, that's what we're wanting to do. Exeter are going for the title. They want to have a C next to their name.
Yeah.
So there's going to be that trepidation, that caginess about the game, I think, regardless.
Yeah, I think that. So two teams on top of the form table going into this weekend. It's going to be an occasion. It's a sellout, obviously. They're going to be packed. Their end's going to be jubilant because they've just won promotion. You know what our end was like at Portsmouth that time when we won the league. They're going to have a wild old time, their last away game. And I think it's these kind of games that you think back to a year ago. You think we were just watching some dross football, some awful players. It's fast forward a year later. So it's easy to forget that we were sat here just so down and so upset about what was going on. We said the whole club needs a reset. It's happened. a year later, we've got a sellout against third against second. Their end's going to be packed. It's going to be an occasion. There's going to be probably people from Sky, BBC there. It's going to be madly time. I just want to go and enjoy it because it's really rare that this kind of thing comes around. And if we win, it's going to really carry us, I think, through to the last game of the season to set up something really special at Barrow. So I'm desperate for us to win, but I'm desperate to go and enjoy the day as well, the build up. But when 3 o'clock hits, I know I'm going to be a nervous wreck. So you probably don't want to sit near me again.
Thankfully, I don't think I am.
You're just on the top of the East Stand, are you?
yeah, that's the only place they could fit me in. Yeah.
More important matters. Yes. Exeter's first team squad. I know you like a game, look through the squad.
Pardon?
As much as you like a look.
Right. Okay.
Looking at Exeter's first team. As we do. Who has the best hair? The most important question of the entire podcast.
Do you know, there are some nominations. I think we should run through the nominations first. So I'm going to start you off with Cameron Dawson.
Yes.
The goalkeeper.
Yeah. On loan from Sheffield Wednesday. Had a solid season. Good keeper.
It's the blonde highlights that do it for me.
Very 90s.
Highlights. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Number three, Jack Sparks.
Jack Sparks, yeah.
He's got classic. Some Ryan Watson-esque hair.
Yeah.
I'm looking through. I'm never a fan. I find it difficult because you get some players. So, for example, there are a couple of players here very similar. Colin Daniel and Jordan Dyer. They've got that kind of bowl cut close to the close to the bone of your head. Your skull, you know, kind of cut.
Jordan Dyer has definitely used the big bowl on his head.
He definitely used the big bowl. Yeah. Neil's now listening intently. Alex Hartridge. He's got some nice curtains going on with some highlights. I like that. Who else have we got? I did have another couple of players as well. Archie Collins has gone for a nice... Is that a quiff? Would you call it a quiff at the front?
Where are you? Archie Collins, is he?
Archie Collins. They're number eight in midfield.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a bit of a quiff going on, yeah. A
couple more curtained players in Jack Veal.
Yeah, I like a good curtain.
And James Dodd, yeah.
James Dodd's got a curtain.
I call them the curtains, but some would call them the James Madisons these days, I believe. Alfie Pond gets an honourable mention because, first of all, he's got a lovely bit of hair on his head. And then, second of all, his name is Alfie Pond.
Yeah.
I love it. And then I then go Ben Seymour.
And Ben Seymour, I think he's my favourite.
I think he's...
I don't know what's going on up there, but
he's a contender for definite. He's massive and bumpy. It's the way that I can describe bumpy is bumpy. The description that I give. I do like Giovanni Brown with his... They're kind of small dreads, would you sort of say? Because they're quite thin dreads. Yeah,
they may well have been cut off in his 10 o'clock in the morning sesh the other day.
And I also like, because I do like a bit of a blonde highlight, Afrande Zanzala.
Yes.
Because he's got like speckles at the tips on
his head. He was playing for Barrow earlier this season, I think.
He was,
Looking at the coaching staff, actually, Kevin Nicholson, he used to play for us.
He did.
Is the coach. Yeah. Used to manage Mousehole, apparently. Team called Mousehole.
Brilliant.
Based in Cornwall.
Can I just give a mention? You do need to, if you're listening to this right now and you've got your phone available there, go to Exeter City's website and go to their first team, the pictures, what we're looking at now, and just scroll all the way down to the coaches. Matt Taylor looks like he's been caught in the headlights.
Yes, he definitely does.
What am I doing here?
What's going on?
He
definitely does. So favourite hair, I'm going Ben Seymour, I think.
I'm going to join you on that. Yeah,
Ben Seymour. Probably can see more with a lot of that hair out the way of his face.
Bumpfit.
There we go. Bumpfit. So there we go. Predictions. I mean, we do usually discuss how they are at defending set pieces. Any idea, Charles?
Terrible.
I don't know. That's what we wanted. Yeah. So predictions. Big game. Saturday, 3 o'clock.
I'm scared.
Exeter.
I don't want to make a prediction, Danny.
Oh, have we got jingle?
Possibly somewhere. Probably not. I'm too nervous to find a jingle. I'm sorry.
Hands are shaking too much. You can't find the button.
Yeah. I'm not feeling Are you sure you want to make a prediction about this game? I am bricking it.
I'm bricking it too.
Do you know what? To ease my nerves, I'm going to go with a good old-fashioned ding-dong.
Oh.
I'm going to go with a tremendous... do you know what? The one thing that we've kind of... Because we were on such a high, weren't we, after Saturday, after the Leighton Orient game. And then almost... And that lasted all the way through Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. But then as soon as we saw the Tuesday night results coming in at sort of half nine, a quarter to ten, everything just kind of got subdued.
Yeah, it all tightened up again, didn't it?
It did. And the nerves kicked in for me at that point. And I think the one thing that has happened for me is that I've stopped thinking about how good we were at the weekend against Orient and worried about other teams.
Yeah.
We
don't need to worry about other teams, really.
No, I know.
That's the good thing.
We were exceptional against Orient, and we can be that good again against Exeter. So I'm going to back them. I'm going to back our boys. I'm going to go with a 3-1 win.
Ooh.
So not quite a ding-dong, I appreciate it.
I think it's got ding-dong written all over this one. Oof. I think they're going to come and attack. We're going to find some space in behind. Epi is going to... go mad. 3-2. 3-2 win. Okay. I mean, that would be incredible. If I can see us starting quickly and trying and catching them out a little bit and scoring early on, because I think they're still going to be in that mindset of our job's done kind of thing. But then they're going to refocus. They'll probably get a G up at half time. And I think it'll be tight. But any way we can get it, 1-0 off someone's arse, I don't care. Just get it in.
I do think that Matt Taylor is going to have a big decision to make in regards to who plays, because it really does look like
not looking favorable.
I mean, it really does look like they have been partying for days.
Good.
And I love that. I think it's great. And of course, it's brilliant for us as well. It's going to be hard for him, I think, to choose a team and pick a team of players who are not extremely hungover. So... I think it's going to be great. I you know what? I know it's going to be a nervous, you know, cagey type of game, but we need to create an atmosphere on Saturday that is just really getting behind the boys and cheering them on to hopefully not just victory, but promotion as well. I know we won't be able to find out whether we are. I mean, are there ramifications that Monday, Port Vale, could we be promoted or not?
We could do, but there's too many teams faced like below Port Vale, Mansfield, Bristol Rovers. All of them could. Well, it only takes one of them to win their game, doesn't it?
Right.
I don't think that's. I can't see it being sealed on Monday, really. If it is, we'll probably do some sort of live stream or something. I mean, if it comes down to it, but I think it's going all the way, either way now.
Okay.
Before we go, I've done our predictions. Some other good news. Oh. NTFC Women won on Tuesday night.
They did.
2-0 away at Mansfield, which is a huge result.
Massive.
Like, massive result. Mansfield up in fourth going into the game. Third, I think, actually, sorry, going into the game. Massive result. 2-0. Alex Dix with both of them. And I've got to say, we've seen one of the videos online. What an absolute beauty. From the pass, the control, the finish is incredible. From Alex Dix and from the pass as well. I can't quite see who made the pass from left back, but they are right up there. They've got Mansfield again at the weekend at home. I'm going to try and get over there, I think, for that one, because that's another huge one. They're 4 points behind Chesterfield with four games in hand as the title race goes right to the end. So that'll be something as well to keep an eye on over the weekend and get on down there if you can. But I think that's all for now.
Lovely. Charles,
thank you for being our resident Exeter fan.
You're very welcome. Not the Grecians.
If anyone knows a Barrow fan, I'm going to try and get in early for next week. So it might take a while. I think we will have some potential honorary Barrow fans in the ground next week in the home ends, more than likely. But thank you for listening. We'll be back in your ears on Tuesday morning as we react to what's going to be some afternoon at Sixfields. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.